Hello and welcome to Food Neighborhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities are various, the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. This week we take a tour of Stockholm's Sofo neighborhood, which used to be an industrial heartland and is now an expanding hotbed of independent restaurants, wine bars and delicatessens. Let's have a listen.
Well, we've crunched through a mixture of very fresh snow, it's still coming down on us now, as well as some slushy ice. It's a late winter's day and we're in the Södermalm area in a district called Sofo. And Södermalm is a large island just south of the city centre in Stockholm, connected to the city's iconic medieval old town, but with a very, very different vibe. When I say we, I'm here with Annette Rosvall, who's been working as a food writer and wine critic for many years here in Stockholm. Hello, Annette.
Hi.
So first things first, we're on a very busy road now called Folkungagatan, one of the most hectic streets in this neighbourhood really, and quite a gritty spot by Stockholm standards. Cheapish Irish pubs, a discount supermarket, offices, takeout places, but this is the gateway to one of the best loved neighbourhoods for foodies in Stockholm.
Yeah. The connection is that the Fo in the Sofo is Folkungagatan, so the area is called Sofo because it's south of Folkungagatan.
But it's funny because it clearly sounds like Soho in New York and in London, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, Fredrik Gleipner, who's the founder of the expression, he wanted it to sound a bit like Soho, of course. He's an art director, I think, from the beginning, and now he has this beer shack where he sells beer mostly without alcohol or low alcohol. That has become quite huge in Stockholm. God, it's snowing.
Yeah, it really has started chucking it down. It's like something from a Christmas card right now. Let's go and walk to our first destination.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, here we are.
Here we are. Let's go in. We're at Nuuk at Åsögatan. It's a very trendy and famous restaurant. They have this mix of Asian, Swedish cuisine or Nordic cuisine.
Very minimalist Scandinavian interior, black and white floors, white tiles, low-hanging tungsten lamps. And this is the guy behind it all. Hi.
Hi.
Do you want to just introduce yourself?
My name is Alex. I run restaurant Nuuk in Stockholm with my business partner, Klaus, who's adopted from Korea. So that's where the Korean Asian influence come from. The goal when we started the restaurant was to have a space where we could do what we like, high end, but still very, very much value for money, a restaurant for everyone. So
what are the most popular dishes on the menu?
Well, we have a classic pork bun, which has been around for quite a long time. I'd say that's the most significant Korean style pork bun.
Tell us about this neighbourhood, Sofo. It's becoming a real hotspot for foodies and for tourists visiting Stockholm. I guess you've seen it evolve, though. It wasn't always like that.
No, it wasn't. When we've been around for 4 years up here, and when we opened, it was pretty much only us here. I think the neighbourhood has a lot of small, good spaces to run businesses in. There's a lot of restaurants and wine bars and small places opening up. Probably because a bit of the Sofo thing, and also that it hasn't been that many restaurants around traditionally. So it's a real hotspot. It'll explode next 5-10 years.
Well, thanks for being the first stop on our food tour.
Thank you.
Back into the cold.
Yeah.
Snow has eased off a tiny bit. Where's our next stop?
Now we're going down the slope to Fuyi Wine Bar.
My name is Jonas Sandberg. I'm one of the owners of Fuyi. So my background is I've been sommelier for a long time, but I used to work at Fäviken Magasinet up in the north.
Which is that's one of the Michelin starred restaurants in Sweden.
Yes, so they have 2 Michelin stars now. And I started this wine bar about a year ago now, a little over a year ago, with my business partner Beatrice Becher. We started with the idea of creating a space and an atmosphere and an ambiance that we, first of all, ourselves enjoyed very much, a very casual setting, a very kind of warm, intimate, very friendly setting. And with the ambition of having everything else as a bonus. And everything is kind of the things that we tossed in ourselves that we liked. It's just a mishmash of pretty things that we enjoy. It's real materials. It's everything is, you know, wood or concrete or
plants, bookcases.
Yeah, exactly. And everything, we wanted to have very tactile. Like you can touch it and you can enjoy it, you know.
What are the dishes that are getting the most attention here?
That's a good question. We change menu every day, so it's a very vibrant menu. And we usually focus on small or kind of mid-sized plates, so easy to get in and just kind of grab a quick bite, one glass, and then leave. Or you can actually eat a full meal if you like, share it with friends. But we try to focus on few ingredients on the plate, but really well selected, and then prepared perfectly and served. That's it. So no fuss.
And I actually do enjoy very much the vinyl record player.
Yeah.
That makes you listen to one record the whole way out because it's really a very nice ambience.
Yeah. We select what we play based on the mood in the room and what we feel like and what we where we want people to go from here.
So what are you putting on now?
All right, so this is Tame Impala, the latest album, Inner Speakers. So there you go.
I really want to stay and listen to this, but we've got to get to our next stop.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. So just a couple more places to go. One other thing we need to mention in this area, I think, is also a lot of delicatessens.
Yes.
And places for people to pick up ecological food, vegan food to take home and cook themselves.
And cheese and charcuteries and things like that too. And then that's really, really popular. And I love that. The small boutiques where you can get whatever you feel like getting. There's a ramen place just up behind us, and there are really small nice places opening everywhere.
One thing we haven't mentioned is that you are a true Södermalm boende, which is what
yes.
the Swedes say. So four generations of your family have lived on this big island.
Yes.
Not necessarily in the heart of Sofo where we are now,
no.
but within just a couple of kilometres. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mum went to school at Sofia, it's a school
just
down
the
block,
corner.
Yes. And my grandmother lived here.
Do you think they could have imagined these kind of hipster
no.
ramen bars back then?
No, because then it was really, really, really low class to live on Södermalm. It was only the workers who lived here, and the apartments were small, and toilets on the yard, and
yeah,
and
it has some of the smallest apartments
yeah,
in the city,
it does.
And that was for a lot of industrial workers that came in to work there during the week, then went back to their families.
Yeah, and here we also have the little wooden houses that are so nice. But in the 90s or the 80s, no one wanted to live there, but now they're so hype yeah. with the little gardens and. To live like that in the middle of the city is quite unusual.
Yeah, really Swedish red wooden mm-hmm. classic houses. So we've now actually crossed Folkungagatan mm-hmm. Back towards the other side, and we're in this area that locals are starting to call Nofo.
Yes.
So it's still kind of considered part of the trendy Sofo food scene, but it is north of Folkungagatan, not south. This is a place I've been to a few times as a Brit.
And this is a favourite place of mine too, because I'm a really breakfast junkie. I love breakfast. And here you can get a nice pot of tea and all the good things that the brunch should have.
Hi, my name's Tyrone. You're at the Greasy Spoon on Sjöhovsgatan on Södermalm.
This is one of the few British restaurants in the city.
It is, although I wouldn't say it's solely British. I would say it's also Australian, American, Canadian. Anything from Eggs Benedict, Korean fried chicken, full English breakfasts.
What made you think that this neighbourhood was crying out for a concept like this?
It seems to have worked in Melbourne. It seems to have worked in London. We didn't notice, well, we couldn't find anywhere like that here. So we thought, why not? Let's try it, see what happens.
Tell us about this neighbourhood. How does it fit into Stockholm for you?
So it's very much, for me, it's very much like Fitzroy in Melbourne, or Shoreditch in London, or Williamsburg in New York. It's a bit dirtier than the rest of Stockholm, I would say. A bit more grimy, a bit more real. So I guess it was like a moth to the light for me, anyway.
What brought you to Stockholm in the first place?
Of course, like everybody else, a Swedish partner.
Not everyone. I didn't come for a Swedish partner. But that's not for this story. Thank you so much for showing us around. We've got one more stop to go. Well, last but not least, we're on Sherovsgatan, and I can see some Swedish flags above where we're about to go in. Now, I guess no tour of a Swedish neighbourhood would be complete without putting in at least one traditionally Swedish restaurant.
No, but this is really classic. It's been around since 1908. So we're looking at the menu, and you can see some of the very classic, like Tore Wretman, who is a big influencer in the Swedish gastronomy, and his toast skagen, these dishes.
So toast skagen is shrimps on toast.
With mayonnaise, and very, very good, I think. And then you have all these specialties, like meatballs and herring and everything good from Sweden in a very classical surrounding.
And do people in this neighbourhood really come and hang out here, or is this more for the tourists?
No, absolutely not. I think they have their guests that come back here, and if you sometimes when you feel like eating really classical food, you go here. Even I do, and they have a very good beer assortment too. So it's a nice place.
Okay, well, maybe I'll leave you here then to enjoy some good old Swedish comfort food and venture back into the very cold snow.
Yeah, do. Bye.
Thanks very much. So that was Kvarnen, the last stop on our tour of the Sofo neighbourhood in the Södermalm district of Stockholm. And after a good few hours in temperatures of minus 10, it's time for me to head home.
This has been episode number 74 of Food Neighbourhoods. Our guides for Stockholm's Sofo neighbourhood were Monocle's Maddie Savage and food and wine critic Annette Nordvall. For more food and drink stories, tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.